All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass, and joining me tonight from the baseball team, fifth-year senior catcher Michael Aragon. So, Mike, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, hey, let's start off and talk a little bit about the prior trip to Fort Myers, you know, for the Gene Cusick Classic. Now, you're from Fort Myers, so I mean that has to be
kind of
right?
From Fort Myers. Yeah, yeah. I just like moved there. It's not like I'm from there though. I get that. Like it gets confused though, but I can't claim like I'm from Florida, especially because I'm not really actually from there, from the suburbs of Chicago. So,
yeah, like how long? Like, are your parents still down there then, or are they back in Chicago now?
Yeah. They moved down there when I was right when I went to college. So 5 years ago now, they've been down there.
So I mean it's a little bit of a homecoming trip, at least for your parents. So that's got to be a nice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super fun. I get to go home, see my parents. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's like a break or not like a break, because it's not like Christmas break or Thanksgiving, because it's obviously baseball. But like, it is nice to go see your parents. It is kind of home. I have some friends and family down there, so they all like to come to the games. And that tends to always be really fun. Those are fun games for me to play.
Now, did they make it up this weekend?
For the home opener?
Yeah.
Or no, they were in Memphis. That was the only other one they've gone to. And then they normally come around like senior weekend and stuff.
Okay. I heard someone.
Either in Winter Haven for sure.
Got it. I heard someone yelling Michael, and you know, from somewhere in the stands. So I thought maybe they made it up there. So, but it's hard to see anybody from, you know, inside the booth there. Well, hey, so how far from like the Terry Park area, you know, did you live?
Like literally 15 minutes. It's like down the road. Just hit 47. Just go on literally one road. 15 minutes and you're there. So it is really close. It's pretty close to the hotel as well. So that's always nice.
So when, you know, you grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, then moved down there and you went to, was it Lakeland, right? Before you came to Augie.
Yeah.
So how did you kind of make your way back to Augie then? Did you kind of already have them in your, you know, in your mindset, you're going to come here after Lakeland, or How did you kind of get to Augie?
To be honest, it was just one day Howard reached out, said that, you know, he'd seen some stuff from my junior, like some JUCO highlights, stuff like that. Somehow my name had gotten tossed his way. And then they said they were in need of a catcher, and things, one thing led to another. I came on a visit and then it was good. At no point did I don't even know if like Howard knows this, but like it was my first offer out of JUCO, and like I did not want to come here at all, which is crazy to say. Like for some reason I just didn't it just wasn't something that was like on my radar. I was like, I don't want to be in Illinois. I want to be closer to home. And you know, I wasn't feeling it, but sometimes, you know, that's the best way things happen that way. Cause it was the first offer. And then obviously one thing led to another and I ended up being here anyways. And it was one of the best decisions I've probably had in my college career. So everything works out, but that's how I ended up getting here. But
I mean, you know, it's funny you say that, because like I remember when I was going through that process, like Augie was kind of late in, you know, in the process for me, you know, because I was looking at Co, Drake and Wartburg. And then, yeah, kind of Augie was late. And ironically, it was St. Patty's Day weekend it was my overnight. So, and that sold it for me. So some on-campus festivities.
Did you have a fun overnight?
And yeah, it ended up being a two-nighter, three-day overnight. So it ended up being a weekend out of the whole thing. So it was a good fun.
Yeah, I didn't overnight or anything like that. I drove up on, it was like a Saturday or Sunday, for some reason we weren't playing. It was like April or May or something like that. And then took my visit, just got back in the car, drove 3.5 hours back down to Mattoon. So I wish I took an overnight. a lot of people say they had fun with those. So, you know, it is what it is.
Always good stuff. 100%. Yeah. Now, I mean, down in Florida, I remember last year, I tried to connect with you to go fish, and I think, but you were down in the Ozarks. Now, did you get a chance to go fishing, you know, much down in Florida? Like doing like deep sea fishing or anything, or?
I every time I'm home, I always, I don't really like going that far out on the boat, to be honest with you. I'm like still a little Illinois-ish, if that makes sense. I don't go out. My dad goes out all the time with like some coworkers of his. He loves it. They go deep sea fishing for like, I don't even know, whatever they can get. I like to go for like, I've gone peacock bass fishing a couple times. That's always super fun. I like catching snook, things like that. Mostly just in like the, like where I can still see the land, kind of thing right there. But I don't know. Like everyone has their thing. Like I'm not like a big ocean guy either. So like waist deep is probably as far as I'll go. So
yeah, there's too many things.
Do you want to go out deep sea fishing?
You know, I do, but I'd go out on a boat, you know, but yeah, I'm definitely one of those, like, there's too many things in the water and the ocean that, you know, could eat me and kill me. So, I'll take my chances in the Mississippi River. You know, when you, you know, so down at the Gene Cusick Classic, you know, you guys walked away 2-1, you know, it's always kind of the first, you know, first Florida trip of the year. Now, you know, when you guys traveled down there, was there, you know, any major issues when you guys traveled down, or how was that going down there?
It's pretty easy. I mean, we were pretty lucky this past year. We left a bit later in the day. I think last year we left at like 3 a.m. to drive to Chicago, which that always stinks. But I mean, this year we just kind of, it was pretty easy. Afternoon bus ride, got there, everything happened well throughout security, things like that. We tend to get there a little bit early so we can grab some food and stuff like that. What time do we leave? I think we might have left like in like mid-morning or something. I have no clue, but we got there. We practiced once we got there too. So, I mean, plenty of time. It was a pretty seamless trip. Other than CB being afraid of flying, I think we were good there. Just got to calm him down a little bit on that plane ride.
Yeah. Now, with such a big group, you know, traveling, I was always curious, like, is the player responsible for like all of your gear, your uniforms, or is all of that stuff like sent separately? I mean, how does the team kind of coordinate all that?
So the way that normally works, we actually get like a giant Augustana duffel right here. Got it. Mm-hmm. So everyone gets one of these. And it just says like your number on it. Catchers get two. You get that one in your gear bag. Everyone else, they end up just putting like all their stuff in there. And then they put like, most position players just have like one little backpack, you know, that carries their gloves and helmet and stuff. So they just put it all in there. It's checked through this, like, some, we don't like pay for anything. It's checked. But like you're responsible for all your stuff. It all has to make it in there. I don't know what would happen if you forgot your jersey. I don't want to know. I don't really want to find out. So I quadruple check that every trip. I think that's a running thing. It's like, once you get on the bus, everyone's like, oh, I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Yeah.
But normally you're all right. And then everyone else gets like, we have a ton of like, obviously like our tech equipment boxes and buckets and things like that. Someone's always responsible to make sure those get picked up and checked and picked up throughout the day.
All right. Yeah. I was curious on how all that stuff was kind of coordinated. Like bus trips are a little bit easier, but,
yeah,
you know, but never flown with a team. And, you know, and the nice thing about Augie, I mean, you guys, you know, do that a couple times a year. So, you know, that's a pretty cool privilege. So,
It can definitely be a little stressful though, obviously making sure everything gets there, especially if I was Wallace or Howard, I would probably be freaking out a bit more, making sure everything gets there. But it's not, I don't think we've had any problems, knock on wood, but I think we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Pretty much got it down now.
That's good. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the trip. Because, I mean, you know, start with game one. Was it Baruch or Baruch? I'm not sure exactly how you said their name.
Baruch.
Yeah, now, I mean, you guys piled on the runs, 30-3. You know, what do you think kind of clicked so well kind of in that first game?
I don't really know. We kind of put it on them early. I forget who pitched that game. I believe it was DeMarley pitched that game. And I mean, he just came out, did DeMarley things, and like offensively things just went on. I do think there was a lot of free bases that day. I would have to recheck the box score. But we just kind of tacked it on early, and it's always good to start a trip with momentum like that, especially like first day out. We had just traveled the day before. And I mean, when you put up 30 runs, I mean, that's not easy to do in baseball. It looked like a football score. So, but I mean, everything just kind of fell into place for us. And like, I think most of the starters that day had gotten pulled by like the fifth inning. And then we found out we had to play 9 innings. They have some funky rule where they can't be run ruled or something. So then it kind of became like a let's put up as many runs as we can type of situation. And everyone just played really well, I thought, throughout.
I was curious because I was like, at some point, I was like, does the seven inning, 10 run rule come into effect? I'm like, well, it must not. Cause then I was also looking at like, you know, after DeMarley started, it was like Buckaloo, then Zach Gullickson, then Tate Oreck, Cameron Emmons, and then Jeremy Bergeron, you know, he kind of finished it out. I'm like, even running through 6 pitchers, you know, through that game. I was like, well, it's probably just a good opportunity to get some reps, you know, for that team. So
yeah, I think but Zach went, I'm reading it right now, 4 innings, 1-1-1-1. Yeah, I mean, it always is nice, especially they still put up really good pitching numbers, especially in that situation. Sometimes those innings can get away from, like, the pitchers and stuff like that. So whenever they come in and kind of shut it down and keep going, it's not just good for the game, but, like, it benefits, like, future games from there, you know, kind of get that trust under your belt from the pitch, like, from the team, from the coaches, whatever it is, and then building up some of that confidence as well. Sometimes those innings can be like really good for that kind of stuff. But it was good to see, I mean, all around, especially from our pitching staff. That was probably the first weekend we started like really clicking as like a full staff, which was nice.
Mm-hmm. Now in game two, you guys played University of Texas at Dallas. You know, what were some of the things that maybe the team was kind of struggling with, you know, against them? I mean, they seemed like they're a pretty good team. It was the camera angle was kind of tough, and then, you know, there wasn't a ton of sound. So, you know, it was hard to kind of keep track of the game there. But overall, I mean, how were they?
But to be honest, I didn't think they were all that good, if that makes sense. I don't want to be rude or anything, but they didn't really – like come off as like a really good team. I think Adam came out with good stuff, and he just kind of in one of the mound visits, like when Wallace came out to pull him, he just kind of said it perfectly. It was like it just got baseballed today. And they that first inning they had like a jam shot, like, you know, another flick, like little Texas leaguer over second base, and then like another like jam shot that got through the third base side, and everything just kind of piled on from there. And we just couldn't stop the bleeding. Some days like that happens. Sometimes you're on the good side of the ball. Sometimes you're on the bad side of the ball. I think that happens in all sports. So they just kind of hit it where we weren't. I thought it was a really good game. We came back. I think we brought it within 2 runs. At one point, mm-hmm. It was like 11-9. And then just 2 errors, I think, in that one inning kind of solidified it when they put up another 6 or 7. But I definitely thought we could have won that game. But I mean, I thought Adam threw good. It's just a matter of, you know, sometimes the ball finds the green and when it shouldn't, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I was looking at that, it's kind of the same thing. Like we went 9 deep in the pitching carousel there. So again, that's why I was kind of curious, you know, what, and my son was actually wrestling up at state, so didn't get a chance to really check in and see much of that game. But, Yeah, I was curious because, like, you mean, you know, you guys put up nine, you know, and cut the lead down to two, like you had said. You know, but then, you know, like they put up like six or something like that, you know, in one of the late ones, but it seemed like there was just maybe kind of a stretch of errors and a few of those things that kind of popped up and, you know, but then, you know, the final game of the trip the next day, you know, you beat Haverford 7-4. You know, how do you think the team kind of bounced back, you know, after that Saturday game?
Sometimes, like, I mean, when you're in a three-game stretch there and you're 1-1, you're kind of sitting in a weird position, I feel like, because, I mean, you're a win away from being, like, somewhat happy with the weekend. Obviously, the ultimate goal is 3-0, and you're one loss away from, like, it almost being a disaster. But I think those games always kind of fuel the team up. I mean, I wouldn't say, like, your back's against the wall, but, like, no one wants to lose 2 in a row. No one wants to go 1-2. So there's a little bit more pressure on you to really come out there and throw like a good game or have a good game at the plate and things like that. I think that day Chance gave us a really good start, and things just kind of rolled from there. It was just a good, well-played game all the way around. But I mean, there was definitely like, we were kind of all sitting in the dugout, like, we got to win this one. Like, you can't lose 2 in a row, especially in a three game when you're down in Fort Myers, like you already have a great opportunity of just being down there. So, I thought that was probably one of the best played games of the weekend, especially coming off of like a tough one where you come back almost and then lose.
Yeah. Now, you know, this past weekend, I mean, we had the Augie invite, and, you know, it's always the Vikings home opener right between the Gene Cusick Classic and then going back down, you know, to the Russ Mat. You know, it always falls on St. Patrick's Day weekend, which, you know, Coach Hauer, you know, blessed me with, you know, with the Viking jersey here. But sucks you guys didn't get to play in it, because I was, you know, definitely wanted to rock it there yesterday. But
you know, it might not be out of reach. There's always tomorrow. You never know. I don't know yet. I'm waiting to see the text myself. But
all right, well, let me know if you. Well, let me know if you do.
Yeah, I will for sure. I'll show you a text.
But you know, it's like when it's the home opener, it's like you never really know what you're gonna get weather wise, you know. And like this weekend was no different. It's like we went through the extremes. It was like Friday, it was 80 degrees, but, you know, winds gusts were like 35, 40 miles an hour. Saturday, it started in the 50s and it was in the low 40s. I think it was 41 by the time our game was done. And then, so, you know, a little bit of snow Sunday night or Saturday night. And then, you know, the games, you know, were canceled on Sunday. And then tomorrow night against Dubuque, it's like supposed to be 75. So it's like absolutely crazy.
I feel like that happens every year. It's a toss up. I mean, I think last year, didn't we have our home opener a little early with Luther, or am I mistaken?
I think we did actually last year have a home opener before.
And that was miserable. Like that was so cold. Like, miserably cold. But I mean, this weekend it wasn't that bad. That's the Sunday game would have been very cold, but I mean, it is, we were kind of confused ourselves when we go from like 82 to, what was it, 45 and windy. That kind of stunk a little bit to be in. But I mean, 50s isn't that bad to play in, to be honest. So definitely make it work. And then everyone's just like, we just got to make it through the weekend. We're back in Florida. So there's always that light at the end of the tunnel, I guess.
Well, the other part of it, I mean, you know, is the, what was it, Saturday? I mean, you guys had to be there, what, 8:30 to prep the field? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
So, now, you know, when you see, like, the change in temperatures, do you see the grass start to, like, hump at all or do any of that stuff?
I think that'd be a better question for the outfielders. I tend to – my domain tends to be right where the plate is, so that's what I worry about, making sure that's all good. I haven't noticed anything, to be honest. I'm sure there's definitely like some, like when it goes like ultra soft, you know, and then like you sink your feet in, maybe that has something to do. But I mean, I it's a tough one. I have no clue, really. I feel like that's something I should know, but maybe you could ask Dimitri. He would know.
Yeah, because I was just, I was thinking about it, like, when I walked outside yesterday, like, my backyard, it's, you know, you always see how the frost, like, hits, you know, hits kind of natural grass. I'm obviously, the field's a lot nicer than my yard, but, you know, but certainly it's maybe like, not. You know, sitting there and it's kind of going over, and I'm just like, I wonder if you guys, like, run into that where, you know, especially I was thinking about, like, on the infield, if that initial, like, you know, frost and the warm and stuff like that starts to, like, bubble that soil a little bit and become uneven. Cause you know, when you guys were up at Iowa, you know, it's like, you guys are playing on a synthetic field and it's always perfect. So, but you know, I was thinking, a little bit about, like, just the temperature impact from, like, a pitching and catching perspective, like, how much does it impact, you know, what you do and kind of what the pitcher does? Does it change, like, the movement of the ball a whole heck of a lot, or kind of how you approach the game?
I don't think it changes. So, like, I feel like wind has a bigger effect on how pitches move than like the cold itself. Obviously when it's warm and you're looser, like, you might get that velo jump or something like that, from a pitcher. I feel like every pitcher always, like, elevates their play just a little bit when we go down to Florida, just because it's warm and they're on a dirt mound and they're outside and it's humid. They're a bit more loose. So you definitely see that velo jump. But in terms of, like, sharp break, things like that, that comes with velo as well. But, like, when the games are really windy, you will see, like, a little bit of change with, like, how pitches move. Like, if they're into the wind, like, sliders might not slide as much, or in my head, if they're hard into the wind, like, if the wind's blowing straight into their face, like, my back going out, you can, like, seriously see, like, a velocity difference, and you can see, like, there will be, like, it's, like, more movement in a way, because it's just, like, it's got more resistance. But, I mean, as, like, catching, obviously, like, catching in the cold just is not that fun. I would say out of any position on the field, though, it's probably the best to be in, because, I mean, you're constantly moving. So, like, once you, I would say, like, warm-ups, like, once you take off the sweatshirt and you're throwing, it's a little cold. By the time you get done with IO, you're probably feeling pretty warm. And then the bullpen, you're locking in, and then it's full go from there. And by then, normally your adrenaline's going a little bit more too. So I feel like pitchers and catchers definitely get blessed with being warm. It's not like outfielders who just kind of have to sit there and eat the wind for 3 hours, maybe, you know, maybe get a play or two. And then all of a sudden a ball gets hit to left center and they gotta, you know, loosen up real quick and start getting after one. But once I get going, I don't really feel it, but it's definitely changes sometimes with pitchers or, like, how they throw, I think.
Well, I was curious just because of, like, on, you know, Friday, that wind was going out to left field, so it was kind of coming over your, like, right shoulder. You know, I was just curious if balls were hanging up a little bit more, you know, if it was impacting it a whole heck of a lot. But
trying to remember, I think the wind was blowing out Friday or Saturday.
Friday was blown out left field, and then Saturday was blown out more center, right center.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it wasn't hanging up as much as you would think. I do think our press box kind of does help a little bit with blocking that wind. It's when you, like, get it up there into the air that you start to get, like, the wind aid. But I mean, I don't think there was really all that much change in hanging pitches than normal. I mean, you probably get one every now and then, but a lot of our pitchers, especially on Saturday, a lot of our pitchers got the wind help with sliders. Friday, I think I only caught Addison in that last couple innings. Yeah. And I mean, he was running a lot of fastball changeups, so not really good sample size for me to check on that.
But I thought it was funny, the pitcher for Illinois College was a lefty, and it was like they were playing, you know, chase down his baseball cap after every throw more than anything. So he was eating dirt the entire time. So bad time to be a lefty. Now, you know, I was thinking about that game two versus Buena Vista, and like, you know, they're a good team. You know, they're coming off a kind of an earlier big win over Illinois College. You know, it was a big 16-5, like 7-inning win. And they're, you know, kind of saving their ace, you know, Mark Edey for us. But, you know, one, you know, we quickly put it to them, you know, which was awesome. But, you know, on the mound, you know, I haven't seen Ethan, you know, pitch at all this year. And, you know, Ethan McGraw making his third start of the year, I think it was his fourth appearance outside of the Iowa exhibition. But, I mean, how do you describe his performance? I mean, I thought that was a pretty big game. He really settled down after the first inning, it looked like. I mean, what were your thoughts on kind of his performance that day?
As the guy that got to be on the receiving end of that, I loved his performance. I thought it was really fun. He looked pretty locked in the whole day. I mean, he's a gamer. Like, he comes out there. He started the Webster game, which that was another huge game. And, I mean, first college start, that's not, like, that's a pretty nerve-wrecking game, in my opinion. And he just kind of, yeah. I mean, that's a huge game to start. And he just kind of came out there, and he trusted his stuff through, like, an absolute gem, I believe. And just kind of the same thing. Got hit around a little bit at Loris, but, I mean, he kind of settled back in Iowa. Got hit. I mean, he's a hard curveball, over the top kind of 12-6 guy. And when he has that, I mean, he's pretty dirty. He's got good fastball command, and, like, I mean, he's not really afraid to go out there and you know, go at people, which I really like. Especially, I mean, as a catcher, that strikes are fantastic. And I mean, when I see him, like, I mean, it kind of reminds me of like kind of how our 2023 staff was, you know, people just trusted their stuff and went out there. And I think a lot more people need to start doing that, but I thought his performance on Saturday was really good, especially in that first inning. I mean, what, it go double, triple, back to back, or it was like double out, triple. I mean, that's a tough spot to start a game on. I mean, first pitch of the game was off the center field wall. And, like, I mean, that was the only run they scored. And I think he went, like, six innings or something. So,
yeah,
for him to get out of that was huge.
Really, well, you know, and I think it's nice to see, you know, I was always curious, you know, to see who's going to step up, you know, kind of this year with, you know, outside of, you know, DeMarley and Bendo and you know, Chance and, you know, a few of the other guys, it's like, you know, who else is going to, you know, start for us this year. So it's nice to see, you know, we have a pretty solid freshman coming in, you know, that's stepping up and doing some good work. So, and it was also nice to see Brian Fisher to come in and close it out and get a good save. And, you know, probably inning, was it maybe seven? You know, it's like, you know, you saw Cam, you know, Miller out there, you know, started to warm up, and it's like, oh, is he coming in? Is he not? But, you know, it seemed like, you know, Fisher really kind of locked back in and, you know, pitched the rest of the, end up closing the game out. So it was nice to see him go, you know, a couple of extra innings when, you know, wasn't entirely sure if he, you know, if he would or not. So good to see that for him. Save Cam and, I think it was maybe Ethan Witzel, or I'm not sure who else was out there warming up, but save those guys for another day.
Yeah. Brian had a great day. I think he got himself into a jam one time, kind of got out of it. He was having troubles with his curveball. So once he started just trusting that slider, I mean, it was almost like unhittable. He was just pinpoint with it. But I mean, Fish can be a huge piece for us too, going down. I mean, even into conference play. I mean, we saw that even like his freshman and sophomore years. I mean, he can be a threat on the mound. So, I mean, having someone like that, it opens other possibilities too. Because like you said, you get to keep, I mean, Cam, you get to keep Melby, you get to keep all those guys, which is nice. Obviously, if we would have played Dominican, you know, we might need to use them. But
yeah,
it was good to see that.
That's who it was Melby that was out there. Not Witzel. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was Melby out there. Now, you know, since we canceled the game on Sunday, you know, did the team have you guys do anything on Sunday, or did you just kind of get the day off?
We got the day off. We got yesterday off, and then we practiced today, game tomorrow, and then TBD for the rest of the day. We leave Thursday for Winter Haven, so I think they kind of worked that in so we could have a practice day before a game. Maybe save like one later, you know, because there's rules with like practices and stuff that I don't really know. But it was nice. Good off day. Super nice off day to like recover and, you know, feel good, get the body back right. Things like that.
I heard Morgano, I heard, was maybe coming in town. Did
he was him and Tony Suss.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Did get a chance to see them at all or?
Yeah, I saw them after the game. It was super good to see Tony and Joe. They were right there at the end of the dugout right when we walked out, which is always nice because Morgano was my throwing partner for 2 years. So it was kind of a sad moment when he had to leave and I had to find a new one. It's always good. And I mean, he was like one of the, like, the, I mean, he's teammate, you've said it yourself, teammate of the year. So always good to have that kind of support there and that he's still around. And then obviously Tony, spent a lot of time with him and had a lot of big moments with him on the mound. So it's always good to see him too.
100%. Now I want to talk a little bit about, you know, types of fields. I mean, from your opinion, I mean, what's like your favorite, you know, type of field? Is it like a grass infield? Is it, you know, a dirt infield, or is it like a full like synthetic like University of Iowa had?
I'm a big turf guy, in terms of like my field of play of choice. I think like as a catcher, I tend to get better bounces, things like that. On dirt fields, there's always like the possibility that like you could hit a piece of clay or it could bounce hard off the plate, things like that. The only problem with turf is that sometimes the plate will have like a little edge to it. And then like you actually can't like do anything once the ball hits that. But for the most part, turf is probably my favorite to play on. Good on the knees too.
Yeah.
But I love our field though. So I can't, you know, like say anything about it. It's kind of nice because we get to go play turf everywhere else, but it adds like that little bit of it's like home field advantage. You know, a lot of teams play on turf at home and then they come here and they can't field the ball. I mean, IC kind of had that problem too. I mean, that's always part of like the pregame too, you know, being like, hey, these guys play on turf, let's make them make plays. And for a team that doesn't play on natural surface a lot, it can be tough to come in and play our field. So,
yeah, I don't know, something, I mean, just something traditional about a grass infield, you know, running on dirt, sliding into dirt. You know, it's just pure. So, that's the pure side of me, I suppose. But, now, I mean, you know, running and sliding on it, I mean, how much different is it? I mean, I only played football on the stuff. I never played baseball on it, but I mean, how much different, you know, really is it in terms of like, you know, how you approach a bag? Do you really think much about it?
Just got to slide earlier on turf, I think, is really all it is. You slide. I'm not very fast to begin with. So, dirt or turf, like I'm not changing that. So, I would love to be like, oh, I'm so much faster on natural or on turf, but like truth is I'm just not. So, I mean, it's the same game either way. Like I said, you just got to slide earlier on turf. Cause I mean, you see so many people like sliding past the bag and stuff, just trying to minimize those. But I mean, I don't really see that much of a difference in terms of like movement. I mean, like I said, like blocking, I feel like you get more range on turf as well though.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious on how like, yeah, it's interesting. Now, well, let's just change gears a little bit. You know, and it's you know, here kind of below your name here. I mean, coming into the season, you were ninth on the Vikings, which I didn't actually know this until actually earlier today. I was looking up some different stats, and you know, you came into this year ninth all time at put outs. You came to the year at 546, and you know, after this weekend, you're firmly in seventh place with 587. You know, it's like, I think you had 199 last year. You had like 394, I think, the previous year, something like that. I mean, you know, you have the possibility of finishing top five. all time. I mean, when you hear that, what do you think?
How many do I need to get up there? A lot more. To be honest,
yeah, I would have never seven, thought. Is it 780, I think, is the number five spot, I think, without looking at it.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
To be honest, I mean, it's not that cool to me. I know it probably should be a little bit like cooler. But I mean, I get a put out for every strikeout, I believe, right? Is that how that works?
You do. So you get it for strikeout, tagging a runner, obviously catching a batted ball, you know, or, you know, closest fielder, mm-hmm. you know, some of those things. But, you know, or, you know, do what you did on Saturday. It was a Saturday that you picked off the guy trying to steal second.
Yeah, those are the putouts that, like, I really count. A lot of those putouts, I just give credit to the pitcher. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just on the receiving end. So that's, like, the humble catcher side of me. Like, all I had to do was catch the ball. I didn't throw it. So it is cool, though, to, like, you know, sometimes check the box score and be like, damn, I had 14 putouts today. But, like, that to me is, like, the catcher side. Like, I mean, the more putouts I have, the probably the better the way the game went and the better my pitchers threw. And that's usually like what a fun game for me is, if that makes sense. So it's cool. I mean, hopefully I crack the top five. That would mean we have a lot of strikeouts this year, and that would probably be really good for the team. So,
yeah. I mean, it just goes back to all the pitchers, you know, the last couple of years, you know, that have been just so dominant. You know, that you've had a chance to, you know, to catch for, and, you know, whether it was Harry or, you know, Jacob Rush or Wintrub or Suss or, you know, Cam and all the guys that are here now, it's like, I don't know. It's cool to be a part of it at the end of the day. But yeah, I was just going through looking at some of the individual and some of the record stats, and I was like, I'll be dang. Saw your name pop up there.
I would have never guessed.
That's pretty cool.
I would have never guessed, but I mean, actually I could have figured I was up there. But I mean, you never know. I've only been here for like, what is my third year? You know, maybe there's some catchers that were here for like 4 years, never sat a game, and, you know, had some really good starters or something. So, it is a cool stat, and I'm not going to discredit how cool it is to be on the receiving end of strikeouts. It is super fun throwing it down to
third, that's right,
or whatever it is.
That's right.
More credit.
Now, I mean, what's your favorite part about being a catcher, though? You know, it just generally speaking.
I don't know. Like, catching to me is super fun, just because, I mean, like, you're there every play. You're involved every play. And with the game, the way the game shifted, sometimes, you know, you could be the reason that someone catches a strikeout or something like that. You know what I mean? So like that side of the game is fun, just being there, being a part of it. Like, you're involved every play. So whether it's like, you know, blocking a pitch, receiving it, throwing down, like, you have so many possibilities. I think that's what makes it fun. It keeps you involved, keeps you entertained throughout the day, I guess. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. There's just something about being back there and catching strikeouts that's super fun, if that makes sense. I guess that's a bad answer, but.
No, I mean, you know, I think about, like, you know, I told my son, you know, he was for his third grade flag football team, and, you know, he wanted to play center. I mean, well, you've seen Cooper. I mean, he, you know, is a smaller kid.
Yeah.
You know, got the fantastic mullet. You know, he's like, I want to play center, because I want to touch the ball every single time, you know, and you know, snaps the ball every time, does phenomenal. We didn't have a single drop snap the entire year, you know, so it's like having, you know, being a fundamental part of that kind of initial exchange, you know, every single play. And you take that, you know, to baseball, it's the pitcher catcher, you know, that's where a majority of the game is played. yeah, it becomes super important. So,
I mean, like a center, I mean, I feel like when you say it like that, like the center is a pretty big piece. You know, if you have a bad center, snaps are, I mean, the ball needs to be snapped. So without someone like that, I would say the catcher's kind of like that. Someone's got to be back there catching every pitch, blocking every pitch, doing things like that. Sometimes I feel like we don't get as much love on our end. But, I mean, when you have a good game or you make some cool stops, I mean, you definitely get the love from the team and definitely from the pitchers. And then that's always super rewarding as well.
Yeah. You know, there's a few times I came out of my chair. I thought you were going to throw a backside down to first base and try and, you know, punch somebody out real quick. And, you know, so I jump up real quick and I was, oh, come on, let's fire it down there. But, so yeah, so I get super excited. As soon as I see you jump up and cock it ready to roll, I'm usually I come out of my chair ready to get pretty excited. Heck, so, yeah. That's such a dangerous throw though. My God. It makes me nervous every time.
Yeah. It's definitely nerve wracking. Cause I mean, there's a time and a place for a back pick. And like sometimes the risk to reward might not always be there. Everyone's always like every catcher's made a back pick in like a really tight game and it's been awesome and super cool. But I mean, you throw that ball into right field or you throw that ball into center, I mean, who knows? I can change the game. So sometimes you got to learn when not to throw. As much as you're jumping up, I want to let it rip. I promise. But I'm just thinking the whole time, like, shoot, man, if I'm gonna throw that, it better be on the money every time.
Now, can you maybe walk through the process a little bit of, you know, how a pitch is called? Because some may not know, and I'm going to assume that, you know, I don't know if you see it, you know, a lot. I don't know how many teams in Division III have the electronic system that allows you to communicate, you know, from the coach to the catcher to the pitcher. You know, I know, you know, the pitcher's wearing a wristband or some type of wrist device, right? And then you've got your earpiece in. How does that kind of communication work?
So in previous years, the earpiece was always there. That was kind of like the first step, but Howard could just literally audible anything he wanted to me. And I relay it through just a generic sign to the pitcher. And then it gets more complicated when you get runners on second, things like that. But now it's really simplified. Everyone has like, it's basically an Apple Watch, but it's not like, it's like simply for baseball. excuse me. And like, I mean, Coach Hauer, I mean, you can call anything on there from, you could write a message, you could write, you know, obviously like a pitch. We have offensive plays that go through there as well. So it's really simplified now. The earpiece is really just for, you know, little things throughout the game that Howard sees or wants me to know about, whether it's like, hey, there's a good runner, you know, hey, mix up the you know, the looks or something like that, especially for holds with the pitchers. So it's just kind of there for just communication. Obviously, I can't talk back, but yeah, he can talk to me all he wants. But the watches are super nice. They're super efficient. Sometimes there's little hiccups with them, but I think we've worked most of them out. And they tell us a lot of good information. I don't want to give away all our secrets, but you know, it's kind of like, it's got a good little scouting report thing that we can utilize as well. You know what I mean? Like with who's up to bat and things like that in terms of shifting and whatever. So, it's nice to have that right there. Is it no longer like in the hat? You know how you always like, guys would always like have like the shift card in their hat. I mean, we still have those. We keep all the safeguards. Like they're all there just in case things go wrong. But the watches are super nice. And I mean, I don't have to give a sign once throughout the game. Every now and then, if there's like a watch delay or something, like it'll just be like a simple get it from Mike type of thing. And the pitcher just comes and takes a sign. So,
all right.
But that's the tech.
Did you guys have the watch last year?
No, it's new this year.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. I thought you just had the earpiece last year. I was thinking a little bit about this. over the weekend on a couple of Howard's mound visits, but have you seen the movie Bull Durham?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so I've seen the scene in the movie where, like, you know, Crash, you know, Davis talks, you know, to Nuke, you know, cause he's scared cause his dad's there. And it's like, they need a live rooster to curse, you know, take the curse off of Jose's glove and, you know, the wedding present stuff. And I've always wondered, like, when Coach Howard comes out or you go up and talk to the pitcher, like, what's been maybe the most non-baseball mound conversation you can ever recall? Has there ever been one?
That's kind of tough. A lot of times when Howard comes out, it normally has to do with baseball. I would say 100% of the time it's been about baseball. Normally it's just as simple as being like, hey, you're good, trust your stuff, like giving you a breather. So I wouldn't say Howard's been a culprit of coming out and saying something. But every now and then, you know, back when I was younger, maybe I've taken one. And I mean, sometimes I just go out there and like, I'm not saying anything about baseball. You know what I mean? It could be as simple as like, what do you want to do after this? You know, anything, just kind of like lock someone back in. I think sometimes the game speeds up on pitchers and they just need something. Like you said, like that was the point of the Bull Durham thing was, you know, just kind of like, I guess baseball's like a subconscious sport in a way. So
yeah,
you just need to like sometimes not think as much, if that makes sense. So it's a tough question. I know there's something somewhere that like I've heard that has really, you know, been kind of crazy, probably back when I was playing travel ball. But in my 3 years at Augie, I don't think there's ever been a time where Howard's walked out and not talked baseball.
No, I'm sure he's all about business, but I was just thinking about it and like, has there just ever been something you just kind of walk out and just say something kind of off the wall just to be like, what are you talking about? And it gets their mind thinking about something else and then boom, come back out, you know, and pitch right away. So, well, hey, I know we're running up on time. So, a couple of quick questions, just some fire offs here. So what's maybe your best memory while at Augie?
Probably winning conference tournament at home my first year. That atmosphere was really awesome to play in. That team, I mean, we kind of had our backs against the wall the whole day, and then we just came back and won it. That was just, I mean, that whole season was really great. And then, you know, just especially doing it at home, there's something special about doing, like winning something big in front of your home crowd that really really means a lot. So that's probably my best memory, especially hitting that walk off. That was awesome. I mean, you were there. So
yeah.
I mean, you're probably just as excited in that press box as I was running onto that field. So, just hoping we can do that again this year.
Yeah. That was awesome. So what was your favorite team and like player growing up?
I'm a White Sox fan. So, it's a tough look to be a White Sox fan. Favorite player? I mean, just big league catchers. I was a huge Buster Posey guy growing up.
Okay.
I know he's on the White Sox, but just I was always like a fan of him and just everything he did. I mean, he's just a good catcher. So someone to model your game after as a kid, that's probably not a bad person to choose.
I believe I could be completely wrong, but I think Buster Posey played in the minors here in the Quad Cities.
Yeah, for
the River Bandits.
You could probably find it
somewhere. Let's, I feel like he played for the River Bandits. But let me just double check here while we're. Now you say it, now I can't walk away with without doing it here. Let's see here. I swear I thought he did. I'll have to look here in a little bit. I swear I thought he played for I don't know if it was the River Bandits at the time that was here. But I felt like he did.
Anyway, I would have no clue, but that'd be a cool little trivia question kind of thing to know. So
yeah, AAA, Class A affiliate San Jose. Maybe I'm thinking about someone else then. There was a catcher that was here off the top of my head that played here. I don't know why he came to mind, but anyway, what about your favorite baseball movie growing up?
To be honest, I mean, that's tough. I mean, everyone's a fan of, you know, I feel like it's a pretty chalk answer, but Major League, I mean, that's just always been my favorite one. I mean, Joe Boo, just that was like such a big thing, like in my baseball friend group growing up, I guess, you know. So, I mean, we like everything revolved around that like kind of juju mentality, in the dugout. So, I mean, it just kind of became something that we would always talk about and do. So, I gotta say, Major League would be my favorite, but I feel like it's kind of basic, but it's a great movie. So, pretty happy.
It's a great movie. Now, if you could choose any actor to play you in a baseball movie, who would you choose?
I have no clue. That's a tough one. I'd have to do some research on that. Not something I've been thinking about. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like they have to look like me a little bit, right?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I wish I had a better answer for that, but yeah, I got
I asked Addison that and he had a pretty good one. I was like, I'm gonna have to pull that one back out.
Who did he say?
Now I had drawn a blank. It's the kid that played in recently in Top Gun. He was in Whiplash. He was in the new Top Gun. He played Goose's son.
Oh, like the main character?
Yeah.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I don't know his name. You're
going to have to look it up.
Yeah. See, it's going to bother you. I understand. Sorry, I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah, I'm like blanking on his name. But I can see him. But all right. Well, lastly, and we'll end with this. So, you know, as a fifth year, what's one piece of advice you'd give to a freshman or sophomore on this team right now?
Enjoy it. Just, I mean, even when the days like kind of suck and things aren't fun or the game seems like it's not going your way, just enjoy being with the fellas and you know, being out there at the field. It ends pretty quick. I mean, I'm obviously a fifth year and this has been a journey for me, but sometimes it feels like, you know, just a couple months ago I was stepping on campus at Lakeland as a freshman. And you know, now you got to hang them up. So just enjoy it. I mean, the game it's still a game at the end of the day. So just really have fun and don't make it, you know, the whole world. It's important, but, you know, enjoy it, have fun with it, make some good friends, because some of the best memories are made on the baseball field and with the group of guys you're with. So, you know, that would be my advice.
All right. Well, we'll end on that. Well, Mike, it's been great, you know, having you on. And
appreciate it.
You know, we'll look forward to obviously calling the rest of the baseball season, and we have Dubuque tomorrow night. So I'll be there early, ready to rock and roll. But again, appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me, and we'll see you tomorrow at the Swanson Bruner.
That's right.